Jesus was a carpenter's son, and in Scripture is identified as a carpenter himself. But in our Scriptures, we never hear any stories of his actual carpentry work. The Greek word that we translate into carpenter is tekton, which maybe a more specific definition would be one who works with their hands. Usually, a tekton is also identified by the materials they work with. So you have a carpenter of stone or a carpenter of wood. But Jesus was only identified as simply a carpenter, one who works with his hands. And certainly Jesus, we have countless of examples of how Jesus works with his hands. Helping the blind to see, helping the deaf to hear, healing the sick, using his hands to break bread to feed thousands, using his hands to raise up concerns to God and to receive God's blessings. Jesus even used his hands while eating with the people whom others thought he shouldn't be eating with. He used his hands to turn over the tables in the temple when he saw people defying God. He used his hands to pray. Jesus used his hands to redeem people even before he was crucified. Jesus redeemed people by giving them a better identity as children of God. Even before the bodily sacrifice, Jesus was redeeming. Healing on the Sabbath, not condemning the woman who was accused of adultery, touching unclean people. These were all things that impacted how Jesus was viewed. And they were negative things. But Jesus didn't really seem to care. Putting God first was not a sacrifice for him. Instead, it was life. Jesus didn't grudgingly care for others. He didn't expect a pat on the back when he did something for someone else. He didn't keep track of all of his good deeds so he could reach his quota. Jesus gave it all. We've been talking about sacrifice throughout Lent. Jesus says from our scripture reading, if we want to become his follower, we need to deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow him. Those who lose their life for Christ will find their life. So what if we stop thinking of all of these sacrifices as a challenge or an obstacle to overcome and simply live? We all have various sacrifices in our lives, and many of them we carry with pride. Athletic coaches and athletes spend countless hours in practice and give up weekends for tournaments. Teachers often have to sacrifice some of their own finances to help purchase supplies to help teach their students. Parents sacrifice not only financially but emotionally for their children. And we often do it without regret and without even thinking about the cost. We do it because we receive joy. We receive joy in seeing our children learn new things. We receive joy in watching people be successful in something that they're learning to do. And we often go away out of our way for certain things with eagerness that require a sacrifice from us. And then we also often struggle with other things that don't even require as much emotional or financial or physical sacrifice. So as Paul appeals to us in our readings from Romans, he writes, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." It won't happen overnight, but we can certainly continue to keep trying to discern God's will for us. It's a lot like learning how to ride a bike. You fall off, and you get back on, and you try again. And you keep practicing. Christ's sacrifice for us was not a stumbling block for him. Christ courageously, even through any doubt or fear that could be suggested, Christ courageously lived to serve others, to redeem others, to redeem us. So I wonder, what would you give up for your life? What would you be willing to sacrifice to be assured everlasting life? Prior to the Reformation, this was kind of the general thought, the general theology, that if I sinned, I needed to do something to redeem myself, to redeem my life in Christ. That's not our current practice. We know as Lutherans we are saved by grace, and that grace is given to us no matter how hard we try to screw it up. That grace is given to us. And we will not be denied that grace. But thinking about it makes us think about how much we take for granted. If you had to, what would you give up to receive God's grace? We don't need to buy our lives back. We are redeemed, we are freed, so that we can go out and try again to serve others. But if we can continue to live our lives with the heart of Christ, living our lives to serve others, continually being transformed by the cross, imagine how the next generations will come to know God's love.